Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, the Phil Henry Show, and welcome. This is Big Sean with I Don't Fuck With You.
What the hell is it?
The name of the song.
Yeah, I'm pretty good, man.
Yeah. ISIS suspect to judge. Let me go. Well, there's all kinds of stuff that's happening in this news. And are you talking to me?
Did you think he was talking to you?
Sounds like it, yeah.
You better not be talking to me. Talk about a little bitch you gotta F with.
Watch the language, man. We don't allow any vulgarity or cursing or swearing on this show unless you're a bona fide recording
I think we should tell people about the new Saturday show. I know that David G. Hall is going to...
Well, it's not a new Saturday show. There's nothing new about our Saturday show. What we're going to be doing, though, is rolling out a change that we actually inaugurated last week to great effect, I think. Well, not great effect.
What are you talking about? Last week's BSP show blew a monkey. Everyone knows the monkey. In fact, it blew such a monkey that everyone's well acquainted with the monkey it blew.
Yeah. You know about that, Miss Mary?
Wait. Hold on for a minute.
You don't know about that.
Wait. The show last week blew so much, everyone's well acquainted with the monkey that it blew, and then you said, don't you know that, Mr. Fendry?
You're starting to make a big deal out of nothing.
I'm just screwing around. No, I didn't think last week's show blew so bad that everyone knew the monkey had blew. I think that last week's show blew, but we were not well acquainted with the monkey it was blowing. I think it was a...
Would you knuckleheads please get back on the planet Earth?
Margaret.
On the planet Earth! I'm not leaving. I'm just getting some coffee.
General, what are you saying?
I'm telling you, I tried to listen to that thing you called a show last Saturday as I was driving to Patsy's doctor's appointment, taking her to her doctor's appointment.
I hope she's okay.
Yeah, she's fine. All I got to do is keep her away from listening to your show. And
what was bad about it?
It was a meandering bunch of swill. Now, so what are you doing on Saturday?
Well, we got David Hall, right?
I can't get him on the phone yet. He's not in a clear cell area.
Not in a clear cell area. Boy, I gotta tell you, folks. No matter how much money we spend on phones, it doesn't necessarily mean... Think about that, will you? Just think about it for a second, ladies and gentlemen. We're so fucking... we're so bloody progressive. We're so far in the future. Technologically, we're so advanced. We got it all going on, man. Twice on Sunday, three times on Monday. We spend God knows how much money for a phone. It's not just a phone. I admit that. It's never been better. As a matter of fact, it's the phone / computer / it's the end all and the be all of your life. It is the greatest invention, I think, since the invention of inventions. And there it all is for all of us to love and to enjoy. There's only one small itsy bitsy teeny weeny problem: the infrastructure and technology that we have in place to convey the messages on these really expensive phones is right straight out of Dixie Cup and a Stringland, man.
Well, you know, you just said bad man.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. Where are you, Margaret? You can get my back on this, right?
Get your what? Well, look, I think that the technology... Yes, you said Dixie Cup and a string. I think it is...
Like smoke signals.
No, it's not smoke signals.
Are you guys getting consistent phone service wherever you go? The answer is no.
Well...
No, the answer is no. No, you're not. I'm on the freeway the other day. I'm going through that same spot between Calabasas and whatever the hell that is. Anybody that drives through Calabasas, California on the 101 freeway, and you go into that one little dip area and then you go up...
Wait!
Just forget it, bud. You don't even know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Miss Henry. There's that one dip area.
What dip area?
There's a dip in the road, man.
I bet you the dip in the road is you, my man.
Wee! I think that's disrespectful.
All right, bud, you get your kicks, because I want you to shut up for a minute. I got to make a point. I'm telling you right now that how much money we spend on phones, how much money we spend on iPad, your pad, my pad, we're all going to my pad. Your crib, my crib. Why don't they come out with a convenience called iCrib? You know, like iPad?
Yeah, that's great.
Jesus H. Christ.
Anyway, So they come out with all this shit. And what do we got, man? What do we have to show for? We have this cell service that bites a chimpanzee. It turns the whole fight around on a chimp and starts to rip the chimp's face off. It ain't no good, man.
You know, you put things...
Henry, I think you need a vacation.
Well, there's no question about that. I need a vacation, all right, man. I need like a 20-year fucking vacation is what I need. Excuse my French.
The language.
Well, I'm sorry. All right. David G. Hall is going to join us here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I think he's over there at the... Is he over at the Bozell's house again, for God's sake? David, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm over at the Bozell's house again. What's wrong with that? I have breakfast over here on a regular basis.
On a regular basis?
Yes, I do, because this is a guy whose feelings have been brutalized and hurt so much down through the years that I got to sit down and have breakfast with this guy just to make him feel better about life in general. And in turn, he lets me come out here near his pond.
Well, I didn't know that we... What, are we making money on Steve Bozell?
Look, we are engendering goodwill with Steve Bozell, and the fact that he may become a sponsor sometime in the future is always a possibility. I don't know whether you saw it or not, but the stock market is down 277 points. So we got to make some money, okay?
Yeah, let's panic with David Hall. I think what we should have is a morning feature called Panic with David G. Hall.
Yeah, that's real funny, Phil.
So tell me about my Saturday show.
Well, you know what we're going to do. We're going to have you put a little bit more of you and a little bit less of all the other goofy kind of comedy shtick that you do to, you know, some effect, whether it's successful or not, I can't really say.
Yeah, ha, 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 ha.
Well, all right, so what I'm saying...
Phil is going to bring on the program his opinions and his observations about historical issues.
Yeah, I thought it would be good to have you talking about history, because that's something that you know, it's something that you like, Phil, it's something that you do well, and I think we can make that into something quite fantabulous, if you want my honest opinion. So on Saturdays, the Saturday BSP-only show, because the BSPs already know the behind-the-scenes. They've seen every bit of behind-the-scene you can possibly see. There isn't much more that they can see. And so I think that it is important for you to bring them something different.
Well, we have talked about the BSP Saturday show. I can hear that.
When you hear the traveling squirrel, who gives it? You know what, Phil? I don't care. That thing could be up there with a steamer trunk. Doesn't bother me. Here comes Steve. Ready? You got coffee?
I do. I've got some coffee for you.
Say good day, hello to Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Good morning, Mr. Henry.
How's everything?
It's going fine. I just seen the traveling squirrel. David G. Hall was making a joke about the steamer trunk, but I think I saw something like that.
There's no steamer trunk.
I think I saw a steamer trunk. I know you think I'm nuts. Well,
let me have the phone. I'll finish the thing. So, David, Steve's going to go back and get some more coffee. And some of those, hey, Steve, you got any of those, what are they called?
Croissants.
Get some of those croissants with the flaky, yeah. Those croissants are almost as flaky as Steve. No, I'm not talking about you. So, yeah, this is a very, very peaceful place.
So this whole thing about him seeing a steamer trunk.
I think he's kidding, but I think in his own mind he sees that and he realizes he's probably just seeing things. It's been a tough year for Steve. In fact, it's been a tough, I would say it's been a tough 15 years for Steve. He came out here and, all right, I'd say it's been a tough 18 years ever since he came to California. So, you know.
But you're there sitting at the pond having having coffee.
Yeah, I'm sitting at the pond having coffee, and I'm very happy to be doing that. And if I can talk this guy into buying advertising.
Let me ask a question, David. Steven Bozell has been on this program for a long time, and he's never purchased any advertising.
Oh, he has. He's got a construction company. Phil's going to talk about B&B Construction. You know, so...
Well, we've done it before. We've had builders on the show.
You've had builders on the show, but have you had any movers or shakers on the show? See? So, look at Phil, there's the dead air. You need to jump in.
I'm not going
to
jump in with anything, man. You know, you're on your own there at the pond there at the Bozell residence. All right, so on Saturday, we're going to have a BSP-only show, and I will be talking about historical items and things of interest to me. Nothing that's too terribly heavy politically. Nothing that involves... It's going to be a whole different side of Phil.
Well, it won't be a different side of Phil, but it will be the different side of Phil that we haven't seen too much of. Because of the other side of Phil, which is always, you know, got the jaw-jacking and running its gums about ha-ha-ha-ha, you know, all that bullshit. All that stuff.
All right, David Hall there. Thank you very much this morning. David, have a good breakfast.
Yeah, good morning to everybody out there. Wait, hold on. Hey, Steve.
I just come out. I just come out, Phil.
He's got a pellet gun.
Let me talk to him for a minute.
Bill Henry. Yes, sir.
What do you got the pellet gun for?
Because I'm going to get... I don't have a squirrel staring at me with a steamer trunk and a hat and brochures in his pocket. The thing...
Oh, that man, he needs a psychiatrist.
Then, wait a minute, the guy pulled out a pellet gun?
Yeah, he thought he was going to get a pellet gun and gun down a squirrel.
Get that guy to a doctor, man. I don't know who is responsible for him. I'm sure his wife. There's any number of people that could do the job far better than I. But that's a guy that needs, so he's... Anyway, there is David G. Hall. We're talking about our Saturday show, the BSP-only show, which is going to expose, pardon the expression, me in all of my grandeur and glory to our BSPs. Because as David pointed out, the Backstage Pass people are very, very familiar with how our show is done. They're familiar with the behind the scenes. They've seen it all, been there, done that. And this is my opportunity to hang with you guys who are our subscribers and sort of give you more of who and what I is. And
I understand that there is a moron cachet. There is a moron chic. You were talking yesterday about Baltimore chic.
Yeah.
Well, there's a moron chic now.
Well, I was talking about stupid chic last week.
Now, this is more than stupid. Moron chic is when you say, I don't know, and me, you know, I, me no go there. You know, where you talk like you've got a brain that you talk like you've got a brain that's been sitting in moonshine and Mountain Dew for God knows oh low these many years.
All right, okay. So the point being,
I forget.
All right, no risk of Ebola for sick deputy. This was a deputy in Texas. Every single solitary person that's getting sick, every single solitary person that has got the sniffles, everybody that has the runs, anybody that is. Experiencing any unhealthy symptom, and perhaps is sick to some degree with some other illness. Everyone thinks this guy has got Ebola. There's a deputy in Texas who I guess had been near Mr. Duncan's residence. One of the deputies that was apparently charged with going in or securing the residence, etc. And this cat has, now been taken ill, but they say there is no risk of Ebola. There's also questions over the care of this Ebola patient in Dallas. One of the questions has to do with the blood transfusion question. I think the family wanted him to have the blood transfusion, or the doctors had said the blood transfusion might be something that would help. Or something along those lines. The family greenlit this, and then they said, no, it's not going to do any good. So there was maybe a bit of a tussle there between family and healthcare providers over the care of this Ebola patient.
Well, what is the percentage? Why would these people in Dallas, Texas, not care for this man 100%?
Yeah, they don't need a dead guy on their hands. That's for GD, sure.
I agree with that. There's also a story here on the FBI's 10 Most Wanted. The FBI is exhuming the body of a John Doe buried in Alabama in 1981 in its search for the 10 Most Wanted fugitive accused of killing his family with a sledgehammer nearly 40 years ago.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Dad, this guy's even worse than that list guy.
Yeah, in court filings, the FBI said there's a strong resemblance between photos of the John Doe and former State Department diplomat William Bradford Brad Bishop Jr. Strong resemblance between photos of the John Doe. Now, wait a second. This is a body that was exhumed in a body exhumed in Alabama, or is exhuming the body of a John Doe buried in Alabama in 1981 in its search for a 10 most wanted fugitive accused of killing his family with a sledgehammer. Man, you got to be a sick piece of shit to do something like that. But not even sick. You got to understand, that's not sick. That is, yeah, I know it doesn't sound sick.
Yeah, see, you got to explain this.
It doesn't sound sick, but it is sick. In other words, it sounds sick, I shouldn't say, but it isn't sick.
What?
You know something, Phil?
You get it all messed up.
I'll explain it in a minute. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and on the 29th of October, I hope you can join us. God damn it. Did we not do the fan duel? F me and the horse I rode in on. Let's do our FanDuel commercial when we come on the other side of this break, okay?
Well, they wanted a pre-roll, Phil.
Well, they're not getting a pre-roll today. I'm sorry. You know what? I'm going to just bite the bullet and hire an on-site producer, man. I'm gonna bite the bullet and I'm going to hire an in-studio producer, somebody to come in here, to sit down with me, to hold my hand, feed me coffee intravenously, and help me with this marvelosity. All right, we're going to be right back on the Phil Henry Show. Wiz Khalifa here with Promises. And again, on the 29th of October, it is the world-famous Phil Henry Show at the Ontario Improv. Have you seen our live show, The World of Phil Henry, Truth is Our Bitch? Well, if you haven't, you're missing some kind of, it's, man, you got to get it. You got to see it, dude.
Yep, seeing it is believing it. Well, no, I take that back. Seeing it's not even believing it.
Right, seeing it's not even believing it. The Phil Henry Show, The World of Phil Henry, Truth is Our Bitch, October the 29th at the beautiful Ontario Improv, spacious, great people there, great drinks, great food, and great Phil. The 29th of October. Come on out and see us.
Baby, when the lights go out, it's like we're the only ones. And I already feel it now. It's like
you haven't seen anything until you've seen Renly's sports jackets, suits, ties, and clothing. And they'll do your hair on site. At Renly's, it's all there. All the nose hair trimmed, all the ear hair trimmed, beautiful suits, ties, jackets, and shoes, and your hair coiffed. You can come in there looking like a rube, walk out of there looking like some tight-ass, straight-ass, cob-up-the-ass Republican. I just said ab. I didn't mean to say ab. I meant to say ass. Forget it.
Those promises, don't take them back now.
Thank you.
You'll call that a sponsor, huh? You won't put Bozelle on, but you got this guy selling sports jackets and trimming nose hair.
That's right. All right, folks, Phil Henry here with you, and that's the only thing that's important to remember is my name. You know, everything else is horse shit, you know.
You know, I noticed how you're getting more and more and more comfortable with the language.
Can I just say something?
But, Phil, you're getting more and more...
I wanted to say something. I've been talking this way my whole life. My whole life. Only on the air have I presented to people a Phil Henry that doesn't really exist. Now, for the first time in the history of man on this planet, to whatever degree it is helpful, I am presenting the Phil Henry that I have known and I have sometimes loved, and this is the guy. Now, I try to watch my language to a degree, but I also recognize that we're sitting here, we're talking with friends, and we're kicking this bullshit around, man. So what's the deal with this freaking Ebola?
Well, the Ebola, as far as I know, the Ebola right now, the jury is out on how best to keep it out of the country. But a lot of people are worried about getting it. That's the main thing.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler is going to join us in a moment to talk about how, you know, how this, we know how this stuff is transmitted. So it's not a matter of not knowing how it's transmitted. It's not a matter of not knowing. I'll tell you what.
Get Bob Bacon.
Bob Bacon, go ahead.
Bob Bacon out here filling the bullet, my man. I'm riding around the bullet. I feel it feeling good, but I got the runs. Diarrhea goes into a bucket right here in the helicopter. Up there, the Ventura Freeway, we've got to be backed up traffic all the way down to Curtin Road. And that's Curtin Road. There's curtains for those people at Curtin Road. I'll tell you that right now. And moving into the Yentville Valley, that's it. And there's one bed that's an upset there. Bob Bacon in traffic.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob. Is that some of the Wiz?
That's Wiz's song.
Dr. Jim Sadler is going to be on the line with us here in just a moment to talk about Ebola and what's the latest on this horse shit. I'm going to tell you something, man. It's beginning to really bother me. The misinformation is what bothers me, Dr. Sadler. Thank you very much to Wiz and in the gang. Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego. Dr. Sadler, how are you?
Good morning, Phil.
Tell us what the latest is on the overall Ebola fight.
I think we are in a very good place. I don't think that, look, you know, people are getting sick in Africa. They've come down with the Ebola, and they're being treated for it. The people that make their way to the United States who happen to have the Ebola or Ebola, Ebola is the medical phrasing that we use, by the way, for Ebola field to fill. It doesn't mean that I'm having a speech at that event. I understand that I've got a little bit difficult to understand sometimes, you know.
Well, you're okay to understand, Dr. Sadler, but when you use an unusual word, what is this again, Ebola?
Yes, what is that?
Ebola is my own personal terminology for Ebola. I like to say Ebola because it flows easier off of the tongue and the lips and the very end of my tongue, especially when I moisturize my lips. too. And it's not what you're thinking. It's not, please, it's not what you're thinking.
Well, what are you talking about? I mean, I've had this conversation with you before.
Now, what does this mean?
It's not what you're thinking. I'm saying that because of the accident that I had with when I was in the circus, and because of the speech impediment that I do have, I'm not saying Babola because I can't help it. I'm saying Babola because it's an easier word to say, and because Babola is a word that I came up with to describe the actual malady of Ebola before it becomes dangerous and is killing people. So right now what we're dealing with in America is
yeah, what about the part about a moisturizing of the lip?
Okay, let me. Why do you want to know that?
No, but I'm interested. Why'd you say that?
Because if I use proper moisturizers on my lips and on my tongue, then I can say Ebola interchangeably with Ebola, and I can go back and forth and back and forth between the two.
Yeah, I bet you can.
Shut up, both of you guys.
That was very uncalled for.
I don't appreciate that at all.
All right, so you can say Ebola, as far as you're concerned, is what we're dealing with now in the United States. Meaning what? We just had a man die.
Now, what about that? A man died in Dallas, Texas, Dr. Sandler.
No, I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that. But the disease is at such a manageable stage in the United States that it is not fair, I think, to call it Ebola at this stage, but instead to call it Bubola, which is a pre-Ebola in my mind, only in my mind. This has not been approved of by the American Medical Association. This has not been,
No, I understand. All right, so, but the moisturizing of the lips?
You guys keep...
I'm talking about moisturizing the lips to say the word easier.
Yes, that's exactly right, Robert. It allows me to say, but you guys keep going back to that, and I'm sorry I even brought it up now.
Dr. Sadler, I think it's unusual to say, well, I have this word called Ebola, and I'm saying it, and I'm also moisturizing my lips.
Yeah, that, you know.
Well, that's because all of you people in that studio have blowjob on the brain.
Call him back. No, don't call him back.
Well, could call him back.
Well, really, could you call him back? But don't call him back.
Why wouldn't you want to call him back?
Because I don't like people hanging up on me. We'll just wait for him to call, because it never fails.
Hello? Yeah. Yeah.
Is it him?
Uh-uh. It's a bottled water guy. By the back door. Thank you.
Like I was saying, he'll call back when he sees the error of his ways.
Phil Henry Show. Yeah? Right, okay.
Is that him?
No, somebody wanted to hear that Wiz Khalifa song, So High.
Well, you don't want to know about people's requests. Ebola fear drives LaGuardia's airplane cleaners to strike. Airplane cabin cleaners for a Delta Airlines contractor at New York's LaGuardia Airport went on strike partly because of concern about the risk of Ebola. Now, about 200 people... Who is this?
Yeah, Dr. Taylor on the phone right now. Dr. Taylor?
So I'm sorry that I hung up, but I needed to make the point.
Yeah, okay, Dr. Sadler, in the future, you don't need to lock out with a crass, crude term like you-know-what.
I said, are you kidding? You won't let me say the blowjob, but you guys are talking about F? Wow.
Yeah, I'll approve the language on this show if you don't mind.
But you guys were talking...
I'll approve the language on this show if you don't mind.
Yes, sir, Mr. Henry, whatever you say, sir.
Well, look, no sense in having an attitude, Sadler.
All right, that's, you know... You want me to continue?
Go ahead.
About moisturizing my lips?
No, forget that part. Just talk to us about Ebola or Ebola.
Well, Phil, it's not Ebola. I came up with a word that could be used so that we could understand the level of the threat of Ebola in this country. And right now, it's at Ebola.
What is that based upon? What is that word from? Why pick that word?
Because it's an easy word for me to say on account of the speech impediment.
Excuse me, I don't want to be a party to this.
Whoa, hold it. Sit down, please, Margaret, please.
I don't want to hear the F.
Please sit down.
I apologize. You know, there's a lot of pressure on the medical establishment in this country right now, Mr. Henry, as we search, as we look, as we try to find solutions to this problem of the Ebola. You have this man who came into the United States from Liberia. He was symptomatic but had not been treated. He was sent to the hospital and then sent home, which there was at least 48 hours was lost there. That was unconscionable.
That, see, that's the part that I would question if this man was, he went to the hospital, symptomatic, feeling lousy, and then was sent home.
Well, a lot of these doctors, if they're not used to seeing the disease.
There you go, right there. Thank you, General. That's my point, and I think that needs to be pointed out. You got a lot of doctors that are not used to treating an illness like Ebola, so that when they see Ebola, they're certainly not going to recognize Ebola, even though it's at the lower stage of Ebola. You know, Mr. Henry, you know?
Yeah, I'm not a doctor, so...
We're talking about recognizing the Ebola.
We're not talking about Ebola, because that's not a term...
That's a term that I use.
All right, fine. So the I'm going to have to just think of it in terms of Ebola. The doctor was apparently this doctor was there in the hospital as this man came in. He was treated, was sent home. He was essentially told that he didn't need to be hospitalized. And so this guy goes home, and the next thing you know, he's readmitted to the hospital, and he's sick as hell. And he is a guy this poor man has passed on. So what didn't they recognize? You guys are saying that they don't see these symptoms as Ebola.
I don't think a lot of the doctors do. And, you know, there was a case here in San Francisco not too long ago where the man had gone into a doctor's office and was feeling ill. He had, it turns out, ingested a drink at a bar in the North Beach area of San Francisco the night before. This drink had tainted, it was a tainted drink. It turned out that this man had been given luminous poisoning. Now, let me tell you this. The doctors that treated him did not recognize the symptoms right away. They had to do the blood testing. And once they did...
Wait. Hold on for just a minute.
Can I finish, please?
This is very interesting, Phil.
Yeah, but hold on. I mean, this...
Well, Mr. Henry, when I'm done, then you can go.
Yeah, Phil, don't be such a stingy guy, you know.
All right, fine.
So the doctors... Are you going to say that this is based on the movie DOA? That's what you were going to say, right?
I'm going to say this is the movie DOA.
Yes, it is the movie DOA.
And it's not real.
I know it's not real, but I'm saying it was an incident in San Francisco. They shot it in San Francisco.
Wait a second. Are you saying, Dr. Sadler, I've put up with just about enough of your assholicness, if you want a dirty word?
I've never, you know, no one has ever called me that.
Wait a minute, everybody, calm down. Hold on. The guy that you were talking about, and you launched into this whole conversation about DOA as if it was an actual happening, that's a plot to a movie.
Right, it's a plot to a movie. But it also, I saw it happen.
You didn't see anything happen other than an actor reading from lines from a script and people pretending like a guy was sick.
This is what you just sound like. You went like this. You didn't see anything. See what I mean, Phil? You see? You see, Mr. Henry?
Hold on, okay?
No, I don't.
Well, you're gonna.
What's the deal with the DOA?
This guy is he's flipped out, man.
Well, yeah, if you're talking about that movie DOA.
What is this? Is this the Eddie O'Brien film?
Oh, well, the Eddie O'Brien film.
Yes, Frank and I knew the family. Are you talking about the Eddie O'Brien? And it was Pam Britton was in it, too.
Yes. You sound like that guy in The Player. Hey, Eddie O'Brien, you know. Hoo-hoo!
Well, Phil, I'm sorry if we're familiar with some of the celebrity of this town.
Yes, it was. It was an Edmund O'Brien movie in the early 50s called DOA. It was remade with Kevin Costner. It was a piece of shit when they remade it. But the original is a great film. It's about a guy that gets fed some poison in a drink in a bar in San Francisco. He's just up there to have some laughs for the weekend. And he winds up getting sick, and it turns out there's no cure. He's going to die. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts. And the film, the rest of the film, he spends looking for the people that did it. What are you looking at, bud?
Well, that's pretty probably, that's a bitchin' plot. Are you saying that, God, that sounds bitchin'.
Well, I mean, it was, you know, so it was bitchin'. You know, it was a great, film. And the fact is, though, that this guy never existed. luminous poisoning apparently is a real thing, but I don't know to what extent that it's, you know, it's ever been used. And I think there was actually a disclaimer at the end of the movie saying, you know, this was based on scientific fact, but we don't have any evidence yet that this is actually... There was some kind of a...
Well, it was a, but what is this man Sadler talking about?
He's saying that that was an actual event. No, it wasn't. We're going to be right back on the Phil Henry Show here with more of this bullshit. Sean Paul, entertainment. Sean Paul, yes, entertainment. Hey, girl, Phil Henry, get a BSP, backstage pass. Come on, man. Come on, baby. Come on.
As everyone, the backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Henry Show website is the only thing you'll need to be set free each and every day. Let your mind wander. Let your mind wander over the shoals and the rocky cliffs and the tide pools of imagination and weirdiosity. I'm General Galen Shaw. At one time, I was a functioning member of the United States Armed Forces. But since working for Phil Henry, I have come apart in every way, physically, mentally, spiritually, psychically, and mentally. All eight of those categories.
Rick Rickover here, and we are opening up another Rick Rickover gymnasium and workout place. You know, we always love to see all of the people come in to Rick Rickover gymnasium workout place. I'm going, I've got a million things I got to do, but come on in. Come on in. Have some of our wheatgrass shake. Have some of those shake. Got great protein shake. And we have protein shake, too. I'm, by the way, related to Bob Bacon as the traffic guy. But I want you to come into Rick Rabner here. And we have workout machines. We got the Nautilus. We got those weights. Got free weights. And take a look at my arms. Look at the guns, huh? I'm 75 years old, and I have the body of a 35-year-old. So in other words, from the neck down, I'm ripped and beautiful and soft and prim and trim and tan. From the neck up, it's the portrait of Dorian Gray. From the neck up, I'm the mummy. That's right. Come on in. Get yourself. Get your fitness on here. Rick Rickover, gymnasium's gym down in your gymnasium. Jesus.
That guy, there's a guy that's, he's weirded out, isn't he?
Well, he said from the neck down, he's fit and he's trim and he's tight and he's taut. And naturally, that made me shift in my seat a little bit.
Oh, God!
I'm not talking about you, bud.
God!
Oh, will you relax, bud?
And from the neck up, he's the mummy. God, that boy, I'll tell you, if anything threw a bucket of water on my fire, that did right there. Thank you. I'm Margaret Gray.
All right, turn this shit off, will you please? Get the, I hate that ska tone bullshit.
What do you mean?
Or whatever they call that stuff where the guy tries to sound... Maybe that cat is from Jamaica.
I think that's Sean Paul. I think he do come from Jamaica.
Whatever. All right. So, thank you very much, Dr. Jim Sadler, for your... You know, I'm sorry, dude, that we're talking to you like you're a mental midget, but you're coming off... DOA.
What DOA about him, Mr. Henry?
Well, Margaret, Frank, you know, Frank can tell us.
Yeah, Frank, you know, something. I'll tell you this right now. Frank was just a young man right out of the Army when the film DOA came out. But he was working in the mailroom, I think, at Bolivia Productions, which was a small... it had nothing to do with the country Bolivia. It was just the country was... It was the company named after Frank Bolivia, who founded the studio. But Frank, my husband, was working in the mailroom, so we got to be familiar with a lot of these films and scripts. And he even met some of those stars.
So did you guys actually know Edwin O'Brien?
Yes, we met Edwin O'Brien when we were very, very young at a couple of parties. He, by this point, was... I think he had just done The Wild Bunch, as a matter of fact.
Oh, was Edwin O'Brien in that movie?
Well, I think he was. He was in one of the films where he played some grizzled old prospector of some type. And then, of course, he went on to be in the film Airplane. He played the man who was going to bomb the aircraft.
Yeah, Edmund O'Brien had a great career. He was also in the early version of 1984, people don't know. And he had a TV show.
What was the TV show?
It was a TV show called Sam Benedict, where he played, I think, a prosecuting attorney.
Yes, or a criminal defense attorney.
Right. Edmund O'Brien was an interesting actor. He was just, here's Frank Gray on the phone with us here. Frank, good morning. How are you?
Man, I'm better than Custer. How you doing?
Great. So we're talking about Edmund O'Brien, the actor who was in DOA, and we all got talking about that because of this Ebola virus.
Well, that's got nothing to do anything. Hold on, I'm in the car. Right. I got a driver you know, we're taking the limousine today, Margaret, and this driver, she's about as dumb as the day is long.
Is that, oh, that's Jim, Jamie or Jim?
Yeah, what's your name, pal? Yeah, it's Jamie. She's about 6'3" of dumbass. And go on down. Yeah, pull into the lot there. I want to stop and get a colada, which is a combination cough cafe and a clotter. I don't know what goes in it.
Oh, you want to get the Americano. You're going to Starbucks?
Yeah. Go to that Starbucks.
All right, so Edmund O'Brien was in the movie DOA. We just heard Dr. Jim Sadler talking about how this film was pivotal in his overview of the medical reality of America, even though it never happened, but he feels that it did.
I've listened to that guy Sadler. She's about as stupid as the day is long. I've listened to that guy Sadler on your program. And for a doctor to come on the show and say the things that she says makes me want to lose it all. Lose my money, my bowels, my lunch, my car keys, lose everything because of the things what she says.
All right, so DOA was about what?
DOA was about a man who goes to San Francisco to get away from a cloying, clinging, bothersome girlfriend who also happens to work in her office. And this girlfriend wants to marry her, and she just wants to get out of town and go up and party with some other chicks and see what's up, right? So, you know, she takes him out for a drink, and she says, look, baby, I love you, and I want to marry you, but there are other women. Well, she never really says there's other women.
He doesn't cop to the fact that that's why he's got to go out of town and get some free time or something like that.
Right, exactly. She just wants to leave town, and the girlfriend, played by Pamela Britton, he's very much in love, but he's definitely dropping the hints, you know, if you don't come back here and make an honest woman out of me, then you're nothing more than a turd among many turds in a cat box, and she just blows it off. So she goes to San Francisco, and she meets up with some people in the hotel, and they take her to a bar, and she meets this chick and starts talking to him. And this chick, by the way, in this movie, DOA, that Edmund O'Brien's character meets, plays kind of a rich girl who likes to slum it among the beatniks and the beats and these beatnik bums and weirdos, you know, Phil?
Yeah, no, I I'm familiar with that. And they're in a kind of a jazz club?
Yeah, there you go. They're in a jazz club. So anyway, as Edmund O'Brien's character is talking to this chick that she just met, her drink is at the end of the bar, and someone has come up and put a poison into her drink. Now, she says, excuse me, where's my drink? She goes, gets a drink, drinks it. The next day, she's sick. She goes to the doctor, and she says, you look fine, but let's take a look at your tests. And then the test comes back, and there's three doctors there, and all three of them say to her, you are sick as an animal. And she gets upset, and she leaves, and then she runs down the street. There's a whole scene where she's running.
Yeah, that's one of the more famous shots from DOA, where Edmund O'Brien's running down Market Street and running throughout San Francisco, right?
Well, and what does that represent?
Well, he's panicked, right? He can't believe the news he's just got.
Yeah, that's it exactly, General. She's panicked. She can't believe the news she just got. She's running down the street. If you look at that particular clip of DOA, you'll see a lot of San Francisco reality, because the people in the clip are, in those days, you didn't have to tell people that they were being filmed. The camera was a hidden camera. I don't know that you can recognize him by... But anyway, she finally sets out trying to find who did it.
But you're going to find out who did it, who killed him?
Yes, Dickman, that's the whole point of the movie.
Yeah, see, the movie is that this guy knows that he's dead. He knows he's been poisoned. He has no idea why. Who would do this to him? All he did was go up to San Francisco, you know, and try to have a couple of drinks.
Maybe that girlfriend down there who let him go.
That's a good point. Maybe the girlfriend did poison her, but no, he was down in Banning, California. That's where, by the way, that's where her business is. She plays an accountant, and she's got an accountant business in Banning, California. Jesus H, I'll tell you so. I want to get out of there too. You know.
Yeah, that never occurred to me. But that, what an interesting place to put this man's business, Banning, which is a desert. It's kind of a community right at the gateway to the desert out here in the eastern part of the LA Metro. It's out in San Bernardino, and this guy's business was out there.
Well, yeah, and this guy was dealing in different kinds of this guy was an accountant, but had clients that were dealing in different kinds of explosives and boy, I don't know what it is.
All right, so anyway, so he goes to San Francisco and the rest of the movie is spent trying to find out who poisoned him. Why would this happen?
Yeah, well, what happened?
I'm not going to tell you.
Well, I know what happened. You know,
don't say anything, General. People don't like spoilers.
Yeah, let's not spoil it. I mean, I used to be the kind of guy that would spoil things because not because I was sadistic, but because I believed in being truthful.
Yeah, well, Phil, can I jump in?
Well, that's what I believe.
Yeah, can I jump? Phil, I love you. You're a good man, but you talking about you want to be honest. Look, come on. Everybody knows that you made your living down through the years bullcrapping people six ways to sunset. So don't try.
No, that was me then, and today I'm a guy who believes that we should at least countenance a little bit of respect for the audience and not let things out of the bag if they don't want it out of the bow-wow-wag. Okay.
Where'd that come from?
He's always doing. He's always coming up with some weird way of saying things.
Yeah, it's very scary, Phil.
All right, well, let it be scary. All right, thank you very much, Frank. Frank Gray on the film DOA.
So the guy gets poisoned. There's such a thing as a guy get poisoned that way?
Yeah, they probably can, right?
I don't know. You know, it's a very good question, and I know that there is some sort of a disclaimer.
Well, yeah, you can. The luminous poisoning is the reason why they call it luminous.
It glows in the... It literally glows in the dark.
Yes, it'll glow in the dark when they pull it out of your blood, and they give you a blood test, and they pull it out of your blood, and the whole thing, you know, looks pretty weird.
Yeah, okay. Well, all right. I don't know. So that is that, and that is how that is done, and thank you again, Frank, for that. So getting back to Ebola, no, there's no... This ain't like luminous poisoning. It's not a movie, and it's nothing that, you know, you're going to be running through the streets of... Unless you want to run through the streets of San Francisco. I'm just saying to you, it's a pretty, pretty intense flick. But the real intense thing that's happening right now, the real reality is that's happening right now, is the Ebola. And the other thing that... I'm sorry, but the Spanish authorities... euthanize that dog.
Oh, my God. That was absolutely cruel.
Well, you've got to do what you got to do.
Wait, yeah. You got to do... Exactly got to do what you got to do. The Spanish authorities euthanized that dog. And why did they do that? Because the dog might be a carrier. Not that the dog itself has Ebola. Do you understand? Not that the dog is going to get Ebola. We're talking about a dog that could be carrying this virus on its fur, on its skin. If this is something that's easily transmitted by way of physical contact, it's very possible that the dog could have the virus on its body somewhere. And this is why they decided to put the animal down.
Well, why couldn't they have just, you know, given it a bath?
Yeah, give it a bath.
You don't know if the animal has it in its saliva. You don't know where this virus is. You've got to be, but you're talking about the potential death of thousands and thousands of people here, man. We've already seen thousands of people die. And there's people out there having a protest. Why don't some of you dog lovers get your freaking heads out of your asses and get back to reality, okay? Your dogs are important. Human beings are more important. Sorry to tell you that.
No, I'm sorry, Phil. I will never believe that.
All right, fine, great. If you believe that an animal, even at the risk of the health of humans, an animal should be kept alive... Because in your little puny opinion, you read an article in a pet magazine, or you saw something in Cat Daily, or...
That's your Cat Daily!
Right, hold on, bud. You saw something there in Cat Daily or Dog Weekly that says, hey, here's a way to deal with it. And you think you know better, and you're going to get out there, and you're actually going to cause some sort of civil disturbance. That's what these dumbasses were doing in Spain. Civil disturbance over the life of this dog. And some people can't take no for an answer, you know? Like, this thing is happening in Missouri now. Ferguson's one thing. Now there's another bit of police and citizenry conflict that has occurred. It's been in the news. Some cop is now up to his ass in it because he shot and killed a, quote, 18-year-old. This becomes the pivotal phrase now. Now, I'm not, again, Ferguson is one thing. And as far as Ferguson goes... Get some black cops in that town and start seeing the city as a place that you live in and that you patrol for the safety of the citizens and not a place that you keep contained. And start training these cops better. That's what I say about Ferguson. Start training these cops so that every time they see a kid with his pants pulled down halfway across his ass, they don't want to shoot him. Now you have this situation outside of St. Louis overnight. Outrage over cops shootout with teen. This kid had a gun. Now the cop sunk 17 bullets. Or at least the cop discharged 17 shots. I don't know how many of them found their mark. I think three. But it may have been the whole overkill of that got people pissed off. It might be a lot of things. But the fact is, the guy that they were chasing had a gun.
Yeah, but how many guns did this kid shoot at him?
According to the news, yeah, he did. But we'll get into all of that stuff when we come back. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com here online. At philhendryshow.com on TuneIn. Each and every day, we have a live stream of our show that is on TuneIn. Just find the Phil Hendry Truth Is Our Bitch stream all day long, 24-7, man. You'll hear Phil Hendry there. You're also on our Listen Live line at the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. So you got a lot of different ways you can enjoy the show, and you can also get the download of this show available about 2-3 hours, maybe 2 hours after we conclude the program. The download of each day's Phil Hendry Show on SoundCloud, on iTunes, and at our website, philhendryshow.com, and it is a free download for 5 days. So this is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Been the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Got your tickets for The World of Phil Hendry, Truth Is Our Bitch on October the 29th, then buddy, you're a step ahead of the rest of the human race. That's The World of Phil Hendry, Truth Is Our Bitch, October 29th at the Ontario Improv. Don't be some clod. Don't be some dirt clod with feet. Get yourself tickets to The World of Phil Hendry, Truth Is Our Bitch, and get your arms around the situation for Jesus' sake.
What the fuck happened here, man? I think we lost our video cast briefly. We've restarted the stream. Awfully sorry, folks. I think we had a spontaneous eruption there. I'll tell you something, man. I just sent an email to those guys.
Now, hold on, Phil. Don't start ripping people in ass here.
Now, Phil, that's what you always do.
No. I'm telling you. I already sent an email. I sent an email yesterday. Because everybody wants me to, they want me to invest in this new mini TriCaster. Oh, yeah, this is the latest thing, man. And I saw it, and the price is right, as a matter of fact. I think the price is only 10 G's for this thing, because what we have here in studio is around a $35,000 piece of equipment. But it's already, they tell me, obsolete. No, that's fine. It's good enough for our purposes. But I sent an email yesterday. I said, that's fine, but I want to know about service after the sale, man.
Now, Phil, don't start.
Wait! This is the second effing time this thing has spontaneously,
spontaneous eruption? What are you talking about, spontaneous eruption? Spontaneous combustion?
Yeah, spontaneous combustion.
Spontaneous combustion what?
Well, you're talking about the thing spontaneously...
Yeah, it spontaneously stopped. Spontaneous combustion?
Oh.
God, man. I mean, okay, but just because I said the word spontaneous,
Well, I better not say
it. Don't say it. Anyway, so we've restarted the stream. My apologies to each and every one of you. Did I save the other stream?
I hope and pray to the God of your parents, of your parent choice, that you did.
All right.
What's this other TriCaster?
Well, there's another TriCaster we're going to try to get for our remotes. By the way, speaking of remotes, we will be doing our first remote, the first ever Phil Hendry Show podcast, showcast, webcast, your cast, my cast. Flycast. We'll be doing it in Hawaii. It'll be in the month of November. It'll rock the freaking... It'll just be a lot of fun. For me, for you guys, it'll just... No, it'll be fun. As a matter of fact, you know what we got to do is give away a trip to Hawaii. Somebody go with us. What do you think of that?
Oh, my God. That is a very good idea.
Yeah, Mr. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. No, we'll give away a trip. I don't know. We'll have to look into this. But how about if we take a couple... But you'd have to qualify. Your wife has to be hot. I'm kidding. I'm joking, okay?
Jesus, your boy, there's one way of really getting people pissed off at you.
We should take a couple with us. The longest, we'll take a married couple with us, or just a couple people with us who've been listening to, and the longest BSP subscription, maybe something like that.
Now, I think that would be great. Find the person that has subscribed to the backstage pass.
Yeah, but what if you find out it's some weird person?
What do you mean weird? As far as I'm concerned, if you subscribe to this show, you're a BSP. Jack, you're all about good as far as I'm concerned, man. Yeah.
Woo!
All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah, all right.
What was that video game you were watching one day? You were telling me about that?
Now, the kids were playing a video game one time. By the way, this is South of Heaven from Slayer, welcoming you back to our show. The kids were playing a video game, and it was... the video game was a sports game, and I think the crowd was going, yeah, woo, all right, yeah, woo, all right. And it kept going over and over, and I was about ready to tear my ears off the side of my head. But I became very, very... enamored of it. All right, folks, it's been a tough year for fantasy football players. Suspensions, injuries, and flat-out busts are everywhere. It's time to leave those problems behind and get a brand new team every week on FanDuel.com. The fantasy football thing is a pain in the ass unless you're playing every week. This is going to be the new thing now. This is going to take over all those purists that like to play their fantasy football season-long, their fantasy football team season-long. Maybe they'll be hanging out, but this is the newest, the latest, and the greatest. It is FanDuel.com. Chris Prince from Detroit, an avid fantasy football player, has won over $656,000 playing fantasy sports at FanDuel, and you can too. Isn't that what we're supposed to say?
Well,
I mean, that's what, you know. You can too, and you can. I'm almost convinced of that, unless you're just completely and utterly wrecked mentally. But if you've got some skill at this sort of thing, you may have a shot. Fantasy football and FanDuel... Hold on for a minute, man. Thank you.
That's not rocket.
Shut up. FanDuel.com is the leader in one-week fantasy football leagues for real money with immediate cash payouts. The money's real. Entry fees start at just $1.
Now, what do they mean the money's real? What is that?
You're not playing with any virtual bucks or bitcoins or any crap like that. You're playing with real money. No season-long commitment, no upfront fees. Play each week on play it on whatever you're on. No, play it whenever you want. It's all up to you. You set up a new lineup each week, a brand new team, new players, new defensive units, new offensive units, and man, you're going at it. And you can win every week if you are good enough. Ain't that what life is all about, man? You can win every week if you're good enough at anything.
That's exactly right, Phil.
Right. So this is a lesson in life. As well, FanDuel is paying out more than $10 million every single week this NFL season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use my code HENDRI, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, and sign up now. New user special is ending soon. FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar up to $200. That's up to $200 free. Offer is good for the first 50 people that use my code HENDRI. So don't forget to use my code HENDRI when you sign up there at FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, where every week is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Thank you, Slayer.
Is this Drew Bledsoe, the football player?
Yeah, Drew Bledsoe, who is sharing a glass of wine with a sports reporter. I guess Drew Bledsoe is now a winemaker or some... What is that?
Well, it looks to me like he's... that he does the wine.
So Drew Bledsoe has a winery, or maybe they're just...
They stopped off at a winery to suck down some wine.
They stopped off at a winery to suck down some wine.
Well, how do you...
It says here, I think this is Drew Bledsoe's winery. Look at this, man. He's got the big damn wine vats, and he's got it all going on, baby. I guess he must have bought this. It must have been something that he bought.
Well, yes, an existing winery.
Yeah, I think at Massachusetts State House. Is he also running for Massachusetts State House? Jesus. I remember Drew Bledsoe came out of, I forget what school he came out of, but I remember he was part of that quarterback school. That quarterback class of 83, I think it was. And
what do you mean by that?
Well, there was a lot of quarterbacks, right, Robert?
Yeah, there were the quarterbacks. The great year of quarterback John Elway.
Yeah, John Elway and
you don't know. Let Phil say it.
No, I know one other one.
Dan.
Yeah, Dan
Marino.
Well,
I never heard of him.
Will you get out of here?
You never heard of Dan Boy? You got more dirt between the ears, Dickman. Why don't you take a Q-tip to your brain?
All right, hold on. 1983 was the quarterback year. It was Drew Bledsoe. It was Todd Blackledge. It was Dan Marino. It was John Elway. It was, oh my Lord, I'm missing a bunch of guys here. And it was one holy hell of a quarterback year. And there were guys, Tony Eason, who went on to quarterback the Patriots to the Super Bowl in 85, I think. Although Steve Grogan, I think, came in eventually. And I don't know who the hell quarterbacked the team then. But fact of the matter remains, it was one holy hell of a quarterback year, and Drew Bledsoe was there. But Bledsoe never really, he never shined, I think, the way they thought he would. And eventually in comes Tom Brady, and the rest is rock and roll history. Did I say 83? Am I right about that?
No, you're wrong. Drew Bledsoe was not part of that class of 83. How can he be in the class of 83 and he's still playing quarterback 17 years later?
Yeah, I why am I thinking that?
Well, you're talking about, and by the way, Bledsoe was on a Dallas Cowboy.
Bledsoe was on a Dallas Cowboy.
He was on the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, afterwards, after New England. This is driving me apeshit, man. All right, let's get to some other news here. When we come back, I got to look up Drew Bledsoe, and I want to look up now this FBI's 10 most wanted fugitive, William Bradford Bishop Jr. This guy is an animal. They have, or was an animal, depends on whether or not this clown is still alive. But this piece of doo-doo, wait till you hear what this guy did, where he allegedly went, what they think they have now, what is up, what ain't up, the whole damn thing. That's coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
From Southern California, the Phil Hendry Show from El Pacifico.
You know, that niggas that spend money, not talk about it. You ain't gonna get the money, what you gonna do?
Meek Mill here.
Mike hey. Will made this.
Hey. And off the corner. Be right back in 30 seconds here with more on William Bradford Jr. and Drew Bledsoe.
I make a million on the corner.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
Oh my.
Did walk right into it.
You did walk into that, Margaret.
If you were an old man, you know what I'd do? I'd introduce you to the nether reaches. Excuse me.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Lady, anytime you want to step up to the plate, where's she going?
You know what I'm
saying. I made a million on that coat. Oh. Yeah, I'm rich, nigga. I flex. Flex. Look at my neck.
Yeah.
Look at my bitch. Look at my wrist. Got these niggas upset. All these niggas upset. Who you know, blow a meal. Don't need to think twice. No sweat. No sweat. And these hoes around. None of these chumps can't hang with us. All these chains getting tangled up. And my click arm in dangerous. And we'll flame you up. You get smoked, motherfucker, like angel dust. Start the rose race with the angel up. All these niggas on angles, bruh. But I got shot like a bad dust.
This N-word stuff, you don't get any trouble for that, huh?
You singing it, I'm not. I mean, I get in trouble for it.
Niggas is jealous, just look at your face. 357 get put in your plate. Follow my lead, all you niggas is late.
I would think, that you wouldn't play this music out of respect to the African, to the Americans of African, of related to Africa.
You mean African Americans?
That's right, Phil. I mean, yes.
No, I play it because it's legitimate music. It's legitimate, topical, American, authentic American music. What the hell, man? I don't give a shit what the lyrics are. I like it. I like it a lot.
Gotta go to this.
Look at that, Mr. Henry. You could get 85% off on the iPhone.
Yeah, that's great. By the way, welcome back to our show. Our close personal friend Alex Cohen has been, who is in charge. He's our overall operations manager here, and has been in charge of the purchasing of our new iPhone 6s. Man, and we're all over that like stink on you know what,
Dickman.
That stink on Dickman. Get over like stink on you.
Well, it's a little late for that, bud.
All right, bud, I'm sorry. He shouldn't have said that.
Well, you're looking. I'll tell you what, Phil, you tee it up.
Yeah, I know, and you'll knock it right down the fairway. Drew Bledsoe was born in 1972, so that would make it virtually impossible for him to have come out of the... Jesus.
Boy, you got that one real wrong, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I got that completely wrong. He was born in 72, so he could not possibly have come out of the quarterback class of 1983. He would have been 11 years old.
Hey.
Boy, did you sound... You sounded like a cross between someone with a mental deficiency and a siren on an ambulance.
What do you mean?
You went, hey.
All right, Margaret. So he sounds like an idiot. We already know he's an idiot.
Yeah, or no, you're the idiot, too.
Oh, really? Tell me how idiotic...
This is...
You'll notice, Bud, I've been giving you a break. I'll introduce you to the nether reaches, too.
Jesus, you ought to take it easy with that nether reaches thing, okay? I'm a Christian.
Oh, well, for an atheist like me...
Would you guys shut up, please? Thank you. Spanish Ebola's patient's condition deteriorates. Hospital worker Ramos lay in ER for 8 hours after the Ebola diagnosis. What is going on with this treatment of these people? Now, there have been a lot of people who have been treated for Ebola and are fine. They're, you know, alive. But this 57... Now there's a 57-year-old woman being treated for it in Australia. The World Bank and IMF officials are discussing the crisis with leaders of hard-hit nations. So there's definitely a need to be fastidious and to be clean and cleanly and cleanly in your cleanlinessness. Okay? And I think what we should do is institute some procedures by way of our mailroom.
Well, you've got to... You already have a secure mailroom.
We have a mailroom where... Quite frankly, I got to tell you guys, anything that comes to us by way of package, or even envelope, is opened up before we ever see it. So, and I do appreciate people sending us gifts and sending us nice things, but that stuff, generally, I don't even see.
You're saying that if someone sends you, like, anything?
No, not anything, but it generally doesn't get to me for weeks, because it'll gets opened up, and then I don't know what the hell else. Do they do that little...
Well, they put that rate, they irradiate it or something with a light or some kind of a thing.
Yeah, and then the other thing that I would not suggest you send to us because it's never going to reach us is food. And I know during Christmas time, there was a period there where we would get those almonds
From the actor.
Yeah, the very, very nice gentleman friend of our, gentleman who is an actor and a friend of the show would send us these almonds. And, you know, people send you candies and cakes and everybody well-meaning, but you can't really, you can't...
Well, you're saying you don't trust some lady, a little old lady, wow.
Hey, General, let me ask you a question. Somebody sends you food in the mail, you gonna eat it?
Well, I mean, Jesus, Phil, you know, you're looking at me like I'm just saying, some old lady sends you food and you're not going to eat it?
No, I'm not going to eat it. Not if they tell... What do you mean an old lady? How do I know an old lady sent it?
On account of maybe she sent the picture. Or maybe the old ladies use those address strips. You know? You know, Phil?
What?
The old ladies always use... Wait a second, I use those. Are you calling me an old lady?
Well...
How dare you?
The address strips?
Yeah, I'm talking about those address strips.
I use them. I get them from the Easter Seal Society. And you're saying only old ladies use them.
Well, it does tend to be something that another generation.
Well, my mother used them, and I'll continue to use them. And I'm not old. Excuse me.
Margaret.
No, excuse me. No. I won't sit in the same room with someone who just said because I use Easter Seal Society address strips there at the top, upper left-hand corner of an envelope, that I'm some old, dirty, croned out, dried up, pruned out, extra lubed.
Oh, my God.
Nobody said anything about that.
Well, he was gonna.
You know, Phil, get some control over this turd, will you? This is a turd of a completely different color this morning. I think you've got a multicolored...
Thank you very much, General. I thought we were doing fine until whatever the hell just happened. Would you get that Drew Bledsoe thing printed?
Sorry, well, I'm trying to get it right now. Just hit the button. Hey, get up.
Hold it. That's the Drew Bledsoe... Yeah, that one right there. God. And then we have this William Bradford thing that I want to read off to people because I think it's interesting. You know, we just do our crime reporting around here, right, on the Phil Hendry Show. But apparently the FBI has sent out the word. You know, I get these FBI...
I want in on this. Do you get those FBI updates?
Margaret, what do? Do you sit and stand in the hallway and wait for something really cool to be said and then you come back in?
Yes.
All right, I do. I get these updates from the Federal Bureau of Investigation by way of email. I think they're interesting. You know, call me weird, call me a fascist, whatever. But I do, and I like getting them because I like following what our federal law enforcement people are doing. You know, people are really interesting, man. And I get it about how suspicion and mistrust of your own country has become so chic in America that you just can't possibly utter anything in any real mixed company of a patriotic tenor that anybody is going to at least respect. Everybody kind of looks at you sideways, man. I get it. I understand that there's people who've had varying degrees and different experiences.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Phil, just get to the point.
I'm getting to the point. I understand that not everybody's had a positive experience with this country, but I still recognize and insist that we speak with some decorum of respect when we're talking about the president, when we are displaying our flag, and when we're talking about law enforcement. Not every... I get that cops are messed up, okay? I understand that. But we should always show support to the police, because what is the goal? The goal is to make them better, isn't it? Isn't the goal to make the police better so that they protect us better, so that they do their jobs better? That's not going to happen if you completely undermine them as if the institution itself we don't need anymore.
Man, a lot of people don't think we do. Yeah, we need cops, man. We could have, like, maybe a neighborhood.
Yeah, sure. Okay, you go ahead and patrol your neighborhood with your cop. I think the idea of police is a good idea. All right. William Bradford Bishop Jr., the FBI is exhuming the body of a John Doe buried in Alabama.
But what's the guy's name, John Doe?
That's what they call a guy. They don't know who he is.
They don't have an identification on the body.
Oh.
They call every body they get that is not identified a John or a Jane Doe. Go ahead and ask me what Jane Doe means.
What's it mean?
That would be the female version.
Oh.
Are you kidding me, Dickman? You didn't know that?
Well, it's two different names.
John Doe is the male. Jane Doe is the female.
Then there's no real people named that.
Oh, perhaps there are real people named that, but it isn't very likely. And more importantly, actually, that's not a bad question.
Well, what if there is somebody named Jane or John Doe, and they've got files of Janes and John Does?
Now, the middle name, you call yourself you call yourself Jane D. Doe or Okie...
Call yourself Jane Okie Doe.
Yeah, what about that?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. Call yourself Jane Okie Doe if you want to.
Well, look at Phil, you're trying to keep people safe. That's the most important thing.
Oh, bullshit. Trying to keep people safe. You're trying to get a proper identification. If your name is Jane Doe or John Doe, you already know what you're up against in life, so good luck, you know?
So you think it's just that schmuck has got to walk around with that name where there's about 500,000 stiffs laying in drawers all over this country that could very well be that guy. Jesus.
No, I don't think it'd be that guy, because every time he gets up in the morning and looks in the mirror, he's looking at himself.
Yeah, but there's a million guys named him in drawers all over this continent.
In drawers all over this continent.
That's right.
I think that if you want to find John Doe, the specific John Doe who has that's why you use the middle names.
Now, what if you wanted to find John Doe?
You would have to have more specific information than the name John Doe.
See, Phil, it isn't perfect.
Yeah, you see, Phil?
No, whoa, hold the phone, man. What do you mean, yeah, you see, Phil?
Well, talk to me, sir, like, if you gotta find a guy named John Doe, how are you gonna find him?
That's why you need more specific information. I was married to a woman, my friend Maria, who I was married to, Maria Sanchez, okay? Now, how many Maria Sanchez's do you think there are?
Well, there's a lot of them.
Right. So she used her middle name as a further identifier. She used her middle name as a further identifier, and even more so, she would use her maiden name if she needed that. So, you know, she took responsibility for and takes responsibility for her own identification and, you know, her own presence officially on this planet. If you don't want to get lost in the shuffle, and you don't want to make it a big, confusing scene every time you go to the DMV to get your license renewed or something, then you better get your shit together, man, and find some better way of identifying yourself. If your name is John Doe, and you go to the DMV, hi, I'm John Doe, you're immediately going to say, which John Doe? That's why you use a middle name.
So the middle name is pivotal.
All right, well, you should have said that.
I did say that.
Wow, what a dick. Excuse me, I got to go take a...
Take a shit?
Yeah. I think that was inferred. All right. May I continue?
Yes, I've been wanting to hear this.
The FBI is exhuming, as in taking out of the ground, the body of a John Doe buried in Alabama in 1981. Alabama, a state in the southeastern part of the United States, 1981, a year in the 20th century.
Don't be a smartass, Phil.
Well, these guys want everything explained around here. In its search for a 10 most wanted fugitive accused of killing his family, get a load of this, with a sledgehammer nearly 40 years ago. God damn. Excuse me.
Yeah, well, the sledgehammer, understand you, like when they were asleep?
I don't know. Let's find out. In court filings, the FBI said there was a strong resemblance between photos of the John Doe that they want exhumed and former State Department diplomat William Bradford Brad Bishop Jr. He's accused of using a sledgehammer to kill his wife, his mother, and three sons in their Bethesda, Maryland home in 1976. Their burned bodies were found in a shallow grave in Columbia, North Carolina. God damn, man.
Now, what was the man that did that in New York?
John List.
Yeah, there's the guy. I just got back. By the way, you better get some Glade. You think she leaves it?
Hey, okay.
Thank you very much, General, for that information.
Well, I'm just telling Dickman. That guy, John List, now there was a piece of work.
Yeah, John List was a real flake case, man. John List was a cat that was, I don't know.
Well, he killed his entire family in Long Island.
Yes, he killed his entire family in this home that they had purchased on Long Island. And the story of that family is very bizarre. This is a guy, John List, who was losing money. He was in financial difficulty of some kind. He was also a devoutly religious man, if I may use that term. You know, he considered himself to be devoutly religious. He was devoutly nuts is what he was. You know?
Well, right there. I like that, Phil. Devoutly nuts. Boy, you got that right.
Yeah, he was devoutly nuts. But John List decided that to keep his daughter, for instance, from becoming a slut, to keep his whole family from going to hell, to keep his this and to keep his that, he decided that he would kill them all. Now, that's what he claimed. I think the guy was a psychopath who gave himself the excuse, you know, of keeping his daughter from... His daughter, I think, had begun to drift off into, you know, smoking dope and doing all this good shit, you know, being a kid. And I think to convince himself that he was doing the right thing, he gave this a rationale of saving this child from a life, of hellish immorality. But I really believe the guy did this just to be free of this family, you know, just to get free of the debt, to get free of a wife. That the weirdest part of this, man, was that John List's wife was...
She had the same thing Frank has, only her mind was gone.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, she had neurosyphilis, which is a form of syphilis that has eventually reached the brain and was beginning to take its effect. She was exhibiting signs of dementia. Now, what Frank has, I've never heard of. Frank's got gender confusion. Otherwise, he's fine.
Yes, Frank's totally fine. And he has his good days. Otherwise, he mixes up genders.
Yeah.
Phil, don't look at me like I'm married to a freak on wheels, okay? He wasn't some old lady List walking around. Talk about listing. I bet you she listed all right to the right or the left side when she was walking. In Frank's case.
Can I continue?
Yes, you can continue, Daddy.
Thank you. So John List went out and killed his whole family and left them to stink. I mean this literally. They're in that big house. You know what was funny about this house they lived in?
There was a very expensive chandelier, right?
Are you kidding me?
No. This guy bought this big-ass house in Long Island. And in the middle of this ballroom that they never used, in this house they couldn't afford, in this life that he was increasingly not mentally able to afford or to deal with, in the middle of this ballroom, I believe they had either a chandelier or stained glass at the very top near the ceiling of this room that was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. It would have, in other words, if this guy had sold that stuff off, he would have been able to pay for the house.
Wait. This guy was such a brain-dead idiot, he didn't know that?
Yeah, didn't know that. Now, I believe that John List was a psychopath and a sadistic psychopath because he didn't mind killing. And I believe that this whole bullshit thing of killing his family for religious reasons was just the bullshit that he laid on the local preacher, because he was tight with this preacher in town.
Now, who is this?
Some local guy that ran the church there on Long Island, wherever they lived. that the family knew. I believe the family was engaged with the church itself in some, you know, manner. I don't know, maybe they were members of the choir, maybe they raised money. You know, they were members of that community. And he actually left a note for that preacher saying, you know, "Dear Reverend, I send them to a better place. I can't abide the thought of my family living in a holy hell of a world like this." Big load of shit that he felt would, if he were ever caught, be mitigating to the eventual sentence he might get for murdering his entire family, which is just pretty funny. This turd went to prison.
Yeah, I was going to say, what happened to the guy?
He went to jail, and he died in jail, I think, in the early 2000s, if I'm not mistaken. He did go to prison for the rest of his life. They caught him in Virginia at a business where he was working as an accountant, and as fate would have it, and this is, there's nothing like a citizens, you know, looking out for each other. He was featured on one of these America's Most Wanted.
Oh, that's, and one of his neighbors recognized him.
Yeah, but the biggest thing of all in the John List case was that the very earliest stages of forensic facial identification was underway, and there was a sculptor, a man that worked in clay, sculpting clay, who was given the task of taking a photograph of John List and aging it.
Oh, is this the head, right?
Yeah, you see the head? It's like a statue of the guy's head.
Not a statue. It's just a...
No, it's like a clay bust.
It's a clay bust.
What do you mean by the bust? Is that the... Well...
No, it's not the breasts. The head. The head, bud. The head.
Yeah, you're all talking about busts and getting a head.
Are you talking about giving head?
Get out of here.
That's what you should do, bud. Just run off.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, you can't stay out there forever.
Margaret, we just sit down. So they took this head, they took this face, they aged it, and this forensic sculptor, if you will, worked with this, and he came up with an aged look at John List. And when they found the guy, looked exactly like that.
Yeah, I saw that in the news.
Yeah, the guy looked just like him.
Yeah, it was a brilliant piece of forensic work that he aged John List's face. They found him as an accountant. I mean, they walked right into the office and arrested John List. Yeah, how you doing? That's great. Well, guess what? You're under arrest for killing your family. And this is years later, man. Over 10, maybe 12, 13, 14 years later. I think cold cases are fascinating. I think the cops that crack cold cases are among the best there are. I mean, to think that some slob believes he's gotten away with murder, and it's going on decades, and next thing you know...
What about the guy in El Segundo?
Yeah, that was bitching, man.
That guy in El Segundo, those two cops that were killed in... If you ever get a chance, because we don't have time this morning, you guys, look up the ghosts of El Segundo. It was a 48 hours on CBS about a guy that killed two L.A. area police officers in El Segundo, California in the late 50s. And they didn't give up on this case, man. And they found this guy, like, maybe was it 10 years ago or something, retired, elderly, one of the great people of his community. Everybody loved him and respected him. The guy's married. He's got kids. He's got grandkids, all this bullshit. And this dude is under arrest.
Yeah, all right.
All right, sports fans, back with more here as we wrap up on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Be a member of our backstage pass family. Our new Saturday BSP only show. It's not a new. We've been doing our BSP only show on Saturdays now for several weeks, but we are now going to make our BSP only show a behind the scenes, a look at the things, the inner workings of the brain of me, Phil Henry, and stuff like that. So join us. Get a BSP and live.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Patuti.
El Patuti? The El Pacifico.
Yeah, in Southern California.
So anyway, getting back to this story, this guy Bradford, the guy that we've been talking about in comparison to John List, He was alleged to have taken a sledgehammer to his wife, his mother, and his three sons in their Bethesda, Maryland home in 1976. Their burned bodies were found in North Carolina. Now, the John Doe that the cops have, the John Doe that the FBI has, was killed when he was struck by a hit-and-run driver while walking on a highway in Scottsboro, Alabama, in October of 1981. The last confirmed sighting of Bishop was at a sporting goods store in Jacksonville, North Carolina, the day after his family was killed. 2 weeks later, his station wagon was found in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, just over 200 miles from Scottsboro. Given the size of the park, which encompasses more than 500,000 acres, Bishop, an avid outdoorsman, could have remained in the North Carolina, Alabama, Tennessee area for many years without being discovered, according to FBI agent Pamela Hansen. This is her writing in an affidavit.
So he could have been in this area for many years.
500,000 square acres. And he was an avid outdoorsman, and his car was found abandoned in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, 200 miles from Scottsboro. The FBI has Bishop's DNA on file and will use DNA testing to determine if the remains are a match, said Amy Thorison, a spokeswoman for the Bureau's Baltimore field office, which is handling the investigation. What?
Well, what do you think?
I think the chances are very slim.
Why do you say that?
I just think it's it's always a shot in the dark, man. Sure, the guy looks like him, and yeah, it's in the general area. Man, there's all kinds of people that walk down all kinds of highways and get hit by all kinds of cars. Maybe it is, but I think it's a shot in the dark. Whether the guy is still alive, I don't know. But,
Well, if this guy is living in the Great Smoky Mountain, are you putting me on or something? How's a guy going to stay there for years? You're going to have to sooner or later come out of there.
Yeah, got to go to the store, right?
Not go to the store. This isn't like the guys out on a camping trip. This is living and survival and all that baloney.
Yeah, I mean, if this guy is actually going to live the life of Ted Kaczynski, all these guys, I love these guys that think they're going to be outdoorsmen. Hey, let me ask you a question, man. If you think America is such a big turd and you want to go out and live like a wild man without the government on your ass, why don't you go up to Canada or something, man, or find some other country that's less populated than America, and you could get lost in Canada, I would think, easy.
Well, that's a very big country, but it's also very cold.
Yeah, you got to freeze your ass off up there.
Well, so what? I thought these guys are all badass, hard-ass outdoorsmen. Nothing like freedom.
Yeah, well, Mr. Edward, I know what you're saying. You're trying to say these guys are all pussies.
No, I'm not saying they're pussies. I'm just saying if you got a problem with the government, so much so that you decide to go and live like a wild man in a tar paper shack like that Kaczynski jackass, because you don't believe in this and you don't believe in that, you don't believe in something else. Got a great idea for you, man. Why don't you hike your ass the hell out of the country so you don't have to have, a big brother, the big bad American police state on your ass. Going up to Canada, going to the backwoods of I'll bet you there's some, man, here's what you do. Russia?
Are you nuts or something, Henry? I bet you they track your, I bet you they stick a lojack up everybody's ass in Russia.
I'm sure they got a GPS on the guy's ass.
I'm not kidding.
Well, all right, joke around if you want.
I'm not kidding.
Well, what do you mean you're not kidding? How are they going to, they're going to track everybody?
Do they satellite track people in Russia, General?
I would imagine. It's a former police state.
Wait. Let's get back to the planet Earth here, okay? And let's just talk.
Phil, I'm on the planet Earth. If you go to Russia and think you're going to go into the wild, smoky, you're going to go up there into Pole Smoke Mountain, Russia.
Give me five of that, General.
Yeah,
get out of here, Pole Smoke, Russia.
I'm telling you right now, you think it's going to be easy.
I don't think you know what you're talking about. They're not going to stick a GPS monitoring device up everyone's ass that comes into the country.
I just think they probably monitor that country far better than they do here.
Hey, let's say they do, and I don't doubt what you're saying is true. What difference does it make, man? Do you know how big Russia is? Russia's huge. It's huge, man. There's country, there's forest, deep forest, wooded areas that you could be in there for the rest of your life, man. Nobody gonna find your ass, you know? So,
well, what was that picture you saw from the Stalin era? That was grotesque.
Oh God.
Yeah, man. These people was cannibals.
I saw a picture that I wish I hadn't seen. It was these people during a famine in Russia. Can you imagine being degenerated morally, spiritually? Can you imagine becoming so subhuman that you begin to sell human flesh
Oh, my God. You didn't say it was that.
I thought I did. Sorry.
God damn, Mr. Henry Houston.
Guys, forget it, man.
What are you crying about?
He just opened up some Canadian bacon.
Happening, Bart.
Well, you asked me about the picture, didn't you?
I didn't know you'd be graphic.
All right, sorry, folks. Didn't mean to gross you out, but yeah, there's things that that this world has in its that this world keeps secret that sooner or later we are made aware of. It's a pretty weird, whacked out, screwed up thing. All right, the latest here is there was a nurse in Spain. She's critically ill. The dog has been euthanized as well. It should have been. Good job, Spain. While we do hear of these individual cases popping up hither and thither. We do need to keep an idea that there is a general overall response to this. And like the doctor said yesterday that I saw from Dallas, he said, you got to understand something. This is not West Africa. This is America, where we have epidemiologists, where we have medical support, where we have the ability to diagnose. It's a whole different thing, but I guess it's not going to make any difference to a lot of these jackballs. All right, one final thing here before we get flying here. Drew Bledsoe is a former American football player who played 14 seasons in the National Football League. Best known as the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots, 93 through 2001. That's it. During the 90s, he was considered the face of the Patriots franchise. Bledsoe, a Pro Bowler, All-American for the Washington State Cougars. That's it. And number one overall draft pick in the 93 draft, announced his retirement from the sport in 2007. Now, Bledsoe led a comeback victory over the which the Patriots won 26-0. He set a single game passing record in 1994, 45 completions, 70 attempts. By remaining undefeated throughout the succeeding games, the Patriots earned their first postseason appearance in 8 years. Bledsoe started all 16 games. And then you have in March 2001, Bledsoe was signed to within, let's see, this was the year that Tom Brady came into the game, and I think it was the Super Bowl.
Yeah, right here. Right here. Replacing Bledsoe at quarterback, soon to be superstar All-Pro Tom Brady led the Patriots to an eventual Super Bowl champ. Though he never regained his starting role, Bledsoe nevertheless proved integral. The player placed right here. See, replaced a hobbled Brady in the AFC Championship game against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, okay.
What do you mean? Yeah, okay. I'm trying to get this thing moving along.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Tom Brady led to an eventual Super Bowl championship. During the second game of the 2001 season, Bledsoe was hit by New York Jet linebacker Mo Lewis and suffered a sheared blood vessel in his chest, replacing Bledsoe's soon-to-be superstar quarterback, Tom Brady. So that was the, okay. So Tom Brady in the 2001 season, and eventually it was the Super Bowl there in 2002 in January that he led them. So I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
Well, you've got a lot of people all, you know, mentally midgetized and...
Yeah, gotta be midgetized a lot of people.
You know, we're gonna have to start using words that you find in the English language dictionary.
What?
That's midgetized.
Well, you've got... Let me put it this way, Phil. You made a lot of people dumb. A lot of people.
All right, well, thank you very much for that, Margaret, and we'll take that under advisement. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. It's been great being with you guys. Again, join us at the Improv in Ontario the 29th. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
The world famous Phil Henry Show. Excuse me.
The world famous Phil Henry Show.
I'll do it. The world famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on the Sideshow Network.
And don't forget, it's the Phil Henry, World of Phil Henry, Truth is Our Bitch, the 29th at the Ontario Improv. Get up off your dead ass and go out and get a ticket and go see the goddamn thing for all I care.
But nigga, I do not want to be friends though. I tell y'all motherfuckers, man, this shit is not a love song. This a fucking stripper on a mink rug song. This a fucking Boys Forever hold a grudge song. Pop some fucking champagne in the tub song, nigga, just because song.
Dang, what's the move? Can I tell the truth? If I was doing this for you, then I have nothing left to prove. Nah, this for me though. I'm just trying to stay alive and take care of my people. And they don't have no award for that. Trophies, trophies. And they don't have no award for that. Shit don't come with trophies, ain't no envelopes to open. I just do it cause I'm supposed
to. Bitch, I go to dreams with a suitcase. I got my whole country on a new way. She like, I heard all your niggas stay where you stay. How so big, I haven't seen them boys in 2 days.
Saw my parents split up right after the wedding. That told my ass to stay committed, fuck the credit. Bitch, check the numbers, I'm the one who really get it. I told y'all motherfuckers, man, this shit is not a love song. This is doing me and only God can judge song. I do not know what the fuck you thought it was song. Pop some fucking champagne in a tub song. Nigga, just because song. What's the move? Can I tell the truth? If I was doing this for you, then I have nothing left to prove. Nah, this for me though. I'm just trying to stay alive and take care of my people. And they don't have no award for that. Trophies, trophies. And they don't have no award for that. Shit don't come with trophies. Ain't no envelopes to open. I just do it cause I'm supposed to, nigga.